The revival will not be televised. No, no, no. You will not be able to go to church, brother. You will not be able to file in, sit down and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself in worship and skip out on scripture, because the revival will not be televised. The revival will not be televised. The revival will not be brought to you by Hillsong, led by four songs without an interruption, followed by a please be seated in the collection plate. The revival will not be brought to you by Disney, showing Captain America carrying his cross, while Iron Man quotes songs, singing God Bless America, while SUVs drink black gold, confiscated from the cradle of civilization. The revival will not be televised. The revival will not be brought to you by Fox News and star Oprah holding hands with Rick Warren, T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen singing Kumbaya with Beth Moore, Francis Chan and John Piper, while the Pope watches from the Jumbotron. The revival will not get you more swipe rights, likes, shares, and subscribes. The revival will not be retweeted. The revival will not make you look happy, healthy, and well-balanced. The revival will not make your Thanksgiving dinner party more full, or your New Year's Eve kiss more magical and memorable. The revival will not be televised, brother. There will be no picture of you with Ty White pulling legs on Hollywood Boulevard, or feature a worldwide ecumenical celebration with wholesale miracle healings, and Sean Bowles reading your old address off an iPhone at an event you registered for. The revival will not be televised. There will be no picture of ISIS crucifying our brothers on the instant replay of evangelicals disappearing in a camp that don't exist. Of evangelicals disappearing into camps that don't exist. There will be no due process of fundamentalist pastors waving KJV Bibles, getting kicked out of their denominations, while scripted sermon memos featuring moderately acceptable talking points are handed out from the collaborative network channels, sponsored by your favorite church growth gurus. The revival will not be televised, brother. Chick-fil-A, Duck Dynasty, and Unity Fest will no longer be so damn relevant. And women will no longer care if Luke and Hannah got together on The Bachelorette, because God's people will be out winning souls for the real Jesus. The revival will not be televised. There will
Welcome
be no
back.
Highlights on CBN, and no tattoo sleeve bearded Calvinist explaining
soteriological
mechanics. The theme song would not be written by Bethel
Welcome
Music,
back.
Chris Tomlin, Toby Mack, Lauren Daigle, or Carrie Underwood. It would not be moved by a beautiful voice coming out of a beautiful face, sitting on top of a beautiful body.
Welcome back.
You will not have to worry about copyright licensing.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, August 10th, 2023. A couple of things. First, please support the network. If you do, thank you. If you do not currently or have in the past and do not or haven't ever, please consider supporting the network. It is a listener-supported network. It exists because of people like you. And so if you find the content valuable, please consider supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, and you can see all the ways you can do that. Ways that probably suit you. Not everyone wants to do that the same kind of way, so there's probably a way that suits your proclivities. So please do that, and thank you. And again, thank you to those, especially the faithful folks who have done it for so long, who have supported RBN. Secondly, I've addressed this a time or two recently. This broadcast, Road Warrior Radio, seems to have taken – I've never tried to hide my faith from anyone over the years, and I have always said I'm not trying to sneak up on anyone. And increasingly, obviously, this broadcast seems to be taking what most people would what casual observers might construe as a religious turn, or that seems to be kind of the direction things are going. It's not that so much, really doesn't have anything to do with religion so much as correcting all of the crazy deception, delusion, and error that is out there all over the place and on the rise. Part of that includes this androgynous stuff. So what's behind, you know, we had a president, a couple of presidents ago who, you know, people like Joan Rivers said, that's a man, baby, yeah, borrowing from Mike Myers, Austin Powers character. And Joan Rivers died under mysterious circumstances after really saying that loudly. There are folks, obviously, you know, kind of like with the died suddenly stuff, you know, the healthy world-class athlete falls over dead on the field or the track or whatever, and everybody says, were they vaxxed? Were they double, triple, quadruple vaxxed and boosted and all that kind of stuff? Why would people say that if there wasn't, you know, this is obviously not something that CNN is saying, and I don't think it's just some underground conspiratorial thread that has everyone everywhere wondering this. Now we're seeing there was the you know, Pfizer says that no one was forced to take the vaccine. Folks like Jimmy Dore push back and say, actually, yes, that's if you want to eat, basically, that's the message. And that reminds me of Hayek's Road to Serfdom. I didn't mention that the other day when I brought this up. Chapter 9, you know, Hayek opens with a couple of quotes, and that's basically the backdrop of this. So, you know, if you want to eat, if you want permission to exist, it's almost like we can hear the echoes of George Bernard Shaw somewhere, you know, saying that we all have to, this is one of those moments where we all have to justify our existence. And if you want to exist in this great society of ours, well, then you have to get your shots. So people have been asking, you know, what's going on there? Why are people falling over the shots and stuff? So, not to get too far afield, the androgynous thing, you know, we've heard throughout American history that there are high profile, prominent, influential folks who, you know, may not be who they portray themselves as. One of those is this president, this so-called first lady that we had a couple of presidencies ago. And that this was a very controversial subject. A lot of people talked about it. But I think all of this is a soft grooming for what has been kind of thrown in our face all along, the Statue of Liberty and the representation of Thomas Lawrence's Satan summoning his legions. You know what's a curious, I've talked about the Streisand effect a time or two. What to me is a curious omission on Thomas Lawrence's Wikipedia page is in the gallery section. You can go to his Wikipedia page and see there's a gallery section. Why isn't that painting listed among his works? It is arguably the most, you know, provocative and the most provocatively notable. Some might even say the most famous. And there's an explainer section even though the painting is not lit, it's not shown, it's not displayed on the Wikipedia page, it is spoken of, and there's an explainer. Well, this is how, you know, that came into being, and it's basically dismissive of the esoteric and occult origins of the painting. And if you dive a little deeper, you'll find that there was a lot of that stuff going on. And, you know, I forget the quote, William Blake is the guy who basically said, you know, all poets are Satanists. That's a gross oversimplification. That's a paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he said. And he even, there's a quote about Milton. In fact, I think it's pretty sure on the page that I mentioned, the Royal Academy page. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, William Blake. They quote William Blake as having said, the reason Milton wrote in fetters when he wrote of angels and God, and at liberty when he wrote devils and hell, is because he was a true poet and of the devil's party without knowing it. So William Blake was famous for saying stuff like that. I've talked about Baudelaire and what he said. Finest trick of the devil is to persuade you that he doesn't exist. You know, all these guys say this kind of stuff. Goethe said the same thing. Mr. Faust. So, you know, this has been thrown in our face for nigh on a couple of hundred years. At least. And again, this gets back to the discussion, is America a Christian nation? Is this, you know, is that our heritage? And I think the answer is not so fast. I think there was an effort to create coercive engineered migration. I think there was an effort, you know, Alan Watt talked about this. He used to talk about this, how, you know, you can steer people and you want it to look like it's their idea. So you create this pressure and there's a reaction, and eventually, you know, the persecution, things like the Crusades, take their toll, and eventually, you know, people want to get away from that. And so we hear the story of America's founding, and we escaped religious persecution. But I think there's more to the story. Separation of church and state is a sticky wicket. If you try to, you can't really separate them. That's a deeper discussion. And when you try to, you end up creating a vacuum. What fills the vacuum? Probably something that was intended to fill the vacuum and not good. So, again, it's a longer discussion. There was a sheepfold. There was a sheepfold. And I think the fox or the wolf has always been trying to hide among the sheep. And that's also a concept that I think brings along with it the idea of corruption from within. And we're seeing that now. I mean, it's everywhere. What is Daystar? Daystar is a television network, but what is Daystar biblically? Or in the esoteric occult terminology? What is with TBN's coat of arms? Looks like the Rothschild coat of arms. And all the crazy things, speaking of the manifesting, all the crazy things that are going on. There is, you know, how wild and dystopic. Here's another example. I got this from a dear friend. Speaking of the magical mystery church stuff, got this from a dear friend, and he said, did you know about the change event? I said, no. He said, I didn't either. This is a big deal. This is how wild and dystopic. And this is exactly what Gary Kaa wrote about back in the 90s. It is happening right before our very eyes. And this will merge and coexist sort of fashion with Earth Day and, you know, all this kind of stuff. The question is always, who's in charge? Who decides? Tozer, I think, knew who was in charge and who should be deciding. So, without further ado, I want to jump into, we'll do a little bit of this. The Midnight Ride episode, The Androgynous God of America. Is there something more? And when you understand historically, as David Carrico sort of unpacks, when you understand the implications, the historical implications of endorsing what is happening now, you can already feel the pressure. If you don't capitulate to this nonsense, then you will be, you know, that's where the social justice stuff, that's where the social credit system, the ESG stuff, that's where it's all going. People don't realize if you don't say whoa now, it's only going to get harder. And so decent people, if I can put it that way, if you have a problem with the things that are being said, if you feel like so many people do who remain silent, if you feel that what's happening is wrong, this makes me very uncomfortable. I mean, it's like, it's the old cliche, you know, of the guy who says, shh, just let it happen, and you feel completely creeped out. So much of what is happening and what is being pushed is like that. And speaking of, now you see it. John Pounders actually had a short. I wonder if I could find that real quick. And he said it really well. Yeah, let's do this real quick. I'm going to grab this. Maybe we can do this real fast before we do the other thing. Maybe we'll do this, and then we'll do the phones in the next segment. And then maybe we'll start doing the other thing, and we'll do the rest of it tomorrow or something. So this is John Pounders. The YouTube short is titled Darkness Has No Fear. When that's ready, can we play that? This is what's happening. And if decent people who have a crisis of conscience and feel like, look, I'm not, you know, I don't hate people, but this feels really awful and icky and dirty and gross to me, I don't want to be involved with this. I certainly don't want to condone it. That is, you know, that gets construed as you're racist, homophobic, misogynistic, blah, 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 blah. You obviously are a terrible person. Nope. Don't hate people. I just think this is evil, what you're trying to do and what you're trying to get me to endorse. So can we do that real quick? Darkness has no fear. Whenever you're ready.
Growing up, people who are corrupted and who are willing to partake in sin and lewdness given to a reprobate mind. There was a time, believe it or not, where evil was kind of pushed down, kept in the dark. People didn't really talk about it. They didn't really show it. Now the evil has been put in the forefront. The lights have been turned on. The evil are there, and they're dancing. They're dancing in your face, laughing in your face, saying, this is what we do. This is who we are. We're going to keep doing it. And they can only do that because there's so many people who have been corrupted. Growing up, people who are corrupted and who are willing to partake in sin.
So, to finish the thought on, you know, this broadcast taking what some would construe as a religious turn, to summarize what I said earlier in this, the top of this hour, it is a spiritual battle, plain and simple. And it is rolling out into the physical more and more. And we're seeing that. So that's really what it's all about. It's about addressing that issue. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey there. there. Are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. So, let's go to the phones real quick. We'll do that. Billy in Georgia, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, Chris. Yesterday, y'all had Dane Wigington on the network from Geoengineering Watch. He was talking about he got started because years ago, the solar panels stopped putting out, you know, enough energy, and we were getting this dimming from this stuff going up in the atmosphere. And he began to question with the host yesterday, you know, who benefits from this? And I got to thinking, and he said it, that, you know, the alternative energies, the water, the solar, the wind, these aren't really going to do well. And so then that puts us back on the fossil fuels and the big auto industry and the big countries in the Middle East that have a lot of fuel. And who, what is the religious, you know, umbrella over most of those countries? It's not Christian, not from my reading. So, you know, what do you think on that? Because Dane Wiginton made an interesting point. Perhaps this is a religious thing that, you know, the world's oil is controlled by people that are not friendly to our Christian nation. What's your thoughts?
Who controls those people? Who controlled the oil trade before there was an oil trade? Who controls... who runs the corporations that harvest that oil and process and refine that oil?
Yeah, excellent point. Yes, the same people as always is, and maybe they're playing it both is. Sides against each other.
Yeah, I think it's bigger than that. You know, as, in terms of the oil or, you know, the fuel itself, it's not fossil fuel. Again, for those who, you know, don't remember, Fletcher Prouty told us, he explained, and he was the unimpeachable witness because he was there at the conferences back in the 70s where they told the lie loud enough and long enough until finally the scientists and engineers just gave up and capitulated and said, fine, we'll call it a fossil fuel. And then that became the talking point. So it's not a fossil fuel. Anyone who is not familiar should go listen to Fletcher Prouty tell that story. And beyond that, you know, I always think of Tesla talking about how energy, you know, the first question is it static or dynamic? We know it's dynamic. And so when we really figure out how it works, we will harness our machine to the wheel work of nature, is how he put it, I believe. And basically that would be, you know, you would be recharging your electric car driving down the road. And, you know, people have had this conversation. Why, you know, for example, on the electric or the, you know, the petroleum powered automobiles, you know, they have an alternator, obviously. And the idea is that it's running your electrical stuff and recharging the battery as you drive, as the engine runs. So why can't, you know, you can find some interesting videos on why isn't this thing charging itself while it's driving down the road? And, you know, you hear, well, it kind of is, but it's really not. So why is that? And I think, again, you know, it's the old discussion about control. You got to have a meter on it. It has to seem finite. You have to be able to control people.
You know, that's very interesting that I remember the readings of Tesla. He had that Wardenclyffe Tower where he was wirelessly powering vehicles, planes, and cars. And J.P. Morgan, John Pierpont Morgan, told him, wait, I can't stick a meter on something that sucked free from the air. This ain't going to work. No way. And they shut him down and tore down the tower.
Yep. Or, you know, and did they steal his research in the process? And
you know,
hoard it for
you
themselves.
May know
who
this, knows? Chris, it's very interesting history. When he died, they called the top MIT physics professor at the time when Tesla died. That was Donald Trump's uncle.
Yeah.
He got all of Tesla's shares. He was the smartest guy. And I have heard from people, maybe Donald Trump has got stuff going on in the background through care of his uncle. They got all this secret research that Tesla had at the time of his death. I think his name was Robert Trump.
Who knows? Possible. We're headed into a break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. A couple of things. Do we still have Billy?
I'm here.
Okay, so I mentioned Fletcher Prouty explaining the fact. It's not a conjecture. It's a fact that oil is not a fossil fuel, and that's. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying that for posterity's sake and for. People listening, if you're not familiar with the fact that oil is not a fossil fuel, quote unquote, listen to what Fletcher Prouty said about that. Well, how can, you know, why is everybody saying this? Well, listen to what he says and then realize, again, the same forces control the megaphone that's chanting the term fossil fuel. The second thing, I would be remiss if I didn't mention James Corbett's Big Oil series. How, part one, how Big Oil conquered the world, and part two, more importantly, why Big Oil conquered the world. And from the end of that, he cites Richard Grove, and he plays that clip of Richard Grove saying, Big Oil conquered the world because the monopolization of all resources on the planet is the goal. And to get that goal, you have to monopolize the energy aspects of the people around the planet. He goes on. They talk about the green revolution, the gene revolution, and Corbett summarizes big oil, big pharma, green revolution, genetic engineering, eugenics, the environmental movement, technocracy. Not one person in a thousand can detail the historical development of these ideas or the people and the agenda that connects them. But if you watched his documentary, you now are that one person in a thousand. The question is, what are you going to do with this information? So I think everybody should know that and be familiar with that history.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I agree, Chris. And, you know, Dane Wigington is really, you know, blowing the warning signs, too, for everyone that we have to push back. If we don't start pushing back, it's going to be too late very soon. And he is really concerned. He, you know, you can't attack the data that he's provided. I think it's pretty accurate. And I know that you cover these guys frequently, but I just heard Peter Thiel has went and invested with Tesla on this new Neuralink, Elon Musk stuff, and that we have to push back against that. We can't be letting these people get physical access to our neural brain pathways. You know, we're moving way too fast, and like you said, it's the power that is dark that I feel coming in and doing this, and we don't push back now. We're really going to be in a bad spot very soon. But ultimately, on top of all that, Chris, I think they are fighting the Lord, and they're not going to win. They just don't know that yet. And your show brings so much spiritual energy to me, and you told me once before that the birth of your son was your happiest moment. So I'm always going to end on a positive note. So I'll head on out and let some other people talk to you. But thank you so much for everything you do, Chris.
You bet. Thank you, Billy. Much appreciated. Much appreciated, as always. So back to the phones. Lynn in Maryland, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris, for taking my call. I appreciate
it. You're
welcome. May I ask if you feel comfortable? How old is your son?
He was born in 2000.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he's 23.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. He's very fortunate to have you for a daddy. Thank you for taking my call. My brain's a little spinning here. When you talked about the person who's up all night, you know, can't sleep.
Yeah.
I always tell men who are walking around with their cell phones that they're going to be suffering from prostate problems long before daddy or granddad. And there are Canadian studies to prove that. Wireless is pretty bad. And then mm-hmm. when Billy brought up Dane, we should keep him in prayer. He's obviously over the target. There's not everything perfect about Dane, but he's dedicated a lot. I mean, the man worked for Bechtel, which has always, you know, kind of gotten to me. But mm-hmm. I'm a little skeptical of most people after falling for enough people. And the thing about ecumenicalism, another one of our isms. We got mm-hmm. a lot of isms going, don't we?
So before you, can I just interject briefly?
Please.
So, yeah, speaking of that, like I said earlier, words matter, and doctrine is one of those words that matter. And we heard Tozer talking about 2 Timothy 4:3, for example, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And, you know, I know that you are seeking but you're among those who, you know, are not following, I would say, I mean, I'm presuming here, but I believe that you're among those who are not following these well-worn paths. And so the point I would make in correlation to 2 Timothy 4:3 is what you see, and Tozer talked about it in the ecumenical push the momentum of this ecumenical juggernaut that's actually a return to the ancient Babylonian mystery stuff, coalescing and a commingling of all of the worst kinds of things historically. I don't think people realize, you know, the question, who's in charge, who decides, when you step back and think about it, are we listening, you know, those who have been, you know, baptized by the Holy Spirit, as Tozer was saying, those who proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior. He can only be Lord if he's Savior first. And he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit? Are we leaving room for the Holy Spirit? Or are we getting together in these gatherings or watching videos or whatever and reading what so-and-so says or those kinds of things? I think that happens far more often than people realize. And in well-intentioned sort of ways, Tozer mentioned the World Council of Churches, and the roots of that organization are evil. They're satanic, plain and simple. And so much of what happens in denominational and even non-denominational places, because they, most of the non-denominational stuff, to actually be a church, you have to have some denominational affiliation. And so they get these talking points from on high, so to speak, from places like the World Council of Churches and National Council of Churches. And they're just plain evil. And so, you know, I think you're among the people that basically is increasingly sort of setting that stuff aside and leaving more room for the Holy Spirit. In fact, maybe leaving all room for the Holy Spirit. And I think you know, when we do that, we can't go wrong.
Thanks for saying that. Thank you. That is true. That's why churches have creeds, but memorize the creed. The creed usually doesn't align with the Word of God, and if it doesn't align with the Word of God, then it's false. You can't have a little that's not true. If a little isn't true, it's not true. A little falsehood is false. A little poison to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things that came to mind was the end of 1 Timothy about when he tells Timothy to keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. And when it comes to science these days, what we know, it's not like they're taking it from scratch and, you know, forming an hypothesis and then trying to prove or disprove it. They're working on modeling, and the modeling is based on artificial intelligence. And one of the things about artificial intelligence is that they just dangle generative AI in our face constantly, when that is the least of AI. When you have AI diagnosing diseases and helping to build weapons, that's a whole new ball game than just lying in an essay.
Because, and isn't it interesting,
if it gets the essay wrong, imagine what else it's getting wrong or not for our benefit.
Right. And isn't it interesting that all of that technology is increasingly obviously based on deception and destruction? And people can say, well, you know, that's because of the people that are designing it. And I would say, look a little deeper and listen to what some of the folks like Jordy Rose are talking about. And
Or your Wikipedia post that doesn't have the picture.
Yeah.
You know, it's based on some data and a lot of false data. Or data it makes up, because once it's on its own, it starts generating on its own. But the things that I thought about were actually about, you know, when things started going south. Well, things were already going south when Jesus was still alive. I mean, they conspired and crucified him. But remember Simon in Acts, the sorcerer?
Mm-hmm.
who, you know, I mean, he was doing all sorts of things, and he, you know, I mean, he bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was the great one, when, you know, when they, Philip came along and was preaching the gospel, and he offered Philip money. He was even baptized. The people were baptized. They got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other apostles came and laid hands on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, Simon wanted a piece of that and would pay for it. Well, you know what? The everyday congregational churches pay for it. I remember walking into a Methodist church years and years ago. It had to probably be 30, 35 years ago. Okay, front table where, you know, you have little daily devotional booklets was the Word. Okay, that's put out by Unity Christ Church. I go to Bible study, and they're in the middle of some Bible study that, on a book by Norman Vincent Peale. And these are your everyday Episcopal, Lutheran, you know, whatever common denominational churches had already 30, 40 years ago drank the Kool-Aid. And they were teaching nonsense that was non-biblical.
Yeah. Simon Magus, or Simon the Sorcerer, he is, by some historical accounts, considered the father of Gnosticism. And so that's the first deception. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Yeah, and in Revelation, when it talks about, you know, hating the Nicolaitans, well, that was Nicholas and his proselytes, you know. But remember in 321, because there was so much persecution of the Christians, you know, and you had Rome was ruling, so you had Catholicism. Constantine offered the Christians freedom from persecution. All they had to do was give up the fourth commandment, give up the seventh Sabbath day, the seventh day Sabbath, and worship on the pagan worship day, which was the first day of the week, Sunday. So they sold their souls, and before the printing press, they chained the Bible to an altar because nobody could have the Word of God, and that's partly where statues and stained glass windows, all that stuff comes from, because we'll just tell you the story, and Catholicism is still like that. You know, the priest is supposed to tell you what the Bible means. Well, I can tell you, no priest is going to tell me what something means, because any time they've told me anything, it hasn't worked out well. I mean, you know,
First Corinthians 2, we have the mind of Christ, and who will instruct him?
I know I have a problem. We have to be discerning. You know, when there's Darby, Darwin, Dewey, and Schofield, those four, I mean, stooges. But you were talking about John Dewey the other day in the Historical Society. Actually, in Anthony Sutton's book, he's brought up about that. You know, because, you know, who writes history? You know, the victor writes the history. And that also had to do with Skull and Bones and all the folks in the list. But the change event is kind of like the awakening or the response group that has the concerts. It's this Christian, you know, and they are the awakened ones, but they're also dominionists. I think on Intercessors for America last Friday, and thank you, Lord, because for the past year, I think every Friday, first Friday, I forget, oh, yeah, I missed that this month again. But they had the Duck Dynasty guy on there. And all of these prayer groups, it's all about changing beliefs and bringing in signs and wonders and the Spirit, you know, and we're ruled by the Spirit. And God's Word says, when you start to listen, it's like, God's Word doesn't say that. And it's like praying, the importance of prayer. And sometime I'll tell you this story about praying with somebody and then realizing, whoa, wait a minute, what is it you believe? You know, but when we were praying, I didn't know that. So to pray, we need to be aligned with God's Word. You know, I mean, we can ask God for anything, but people believe. I believed. I spent my entire life being told things that were not really biblical.
And that's why I say 1 Corinthians 2, get the secret decoder ring first, the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit instruct you, and like
1
Corinthians.
The Holy Spirit is not
2 says,
everybody,
we have the mind of Christ, and who will instruct him?
What's going on? If you skip, you know, a couple chapters of the book of Revelation, you're going to miss something there. You know?
I would leave that to the discretion of the Holy Spirit. That's where I would leave that.
But
personally, that's what
know
I would say.
Because they haven't read. The other thing is crossroad.to. What I was going to tell you was there's a link on that website for her publisher. And that's a pretty good website and a blog. I don't agree with everything. Remember, I've been there in 6 years. But even Gary Kaa's books were on there. And there are a lot of other good books on there. One of the good books I found when I was starting to wake up was The New Evangelicalism, which was written by one of the guys with Calvary Chapel. And again, Calvary Chapel, I don't agree with 100% because they're rapture people. But... You
got other calls we got to get to. We're running long.
And they stopped preaching that the Word of God is inerrant. And that was the thing that happened when his son took over.
Some did. As an organization, they did, though. Yeah. We have other calls we got to get to.
Okay, I'll let you go. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you so very much.
I thank you, too. Much appreciated, as always. And we could go on for quite some time, but we got to get to other calls. So, in the interest of time, Larkin, Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, I missed a lot of that because of the crosstalk, but,
yeah,
you know, I guess I'm better off for it.
But, maybe not.
You know, you began your broadcast today with this word didactic, and then you mm-hmm. mentioned this word dialectic.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of something I wrote when I was a teenager, going to college. This had been in the early to mid-70s. And I chanced upon this word discursive, which I contrasted with the word didactic and dialectic. And I wrote something that was, I guess you could call it an essay, and I was rather proud of it at the time. I remember trying to show it to all my friends, and tell me what they think, and showed it to my brother and sister and everything else. And, of course, that's been lost. And today I wish I still had it so I could examine my thinking at, you know, from the time I was a teenager until, you know, say, in the time of my 40s and then until today. But... anytime we fashion a story with words, what we are doing is we are appealing to either logos, to ethos, or to pathos. That's number one. Okay, and when we talk about didactic discussion, what we're talking about is something in which we're intended to teach something. But usually there's an ulterior motive ascribed. For example, moral instruction. And, of course, the definition for this word discursive is when we jump from one topic to the next and there doesn't appear to be any rhyme or reason, and so it becomes confusing or muddled, if you will, et cetera, et cetera. But I wanted to draw you and your readers' attention to something today, and it's called simply, you can do a search, it's called Some Philosophizing About Lying. And to repeat, Some Philosophizing About Lying. And I think it would be instructive in terms of your discussion today and everything else. But I remember when I got baptized in the Church of Christ, very small church, you could barely fit 100 people in the pews. It was in a sparsely populated rural county in Texas, and it was after I married my Christian wife, the small town Texas girl who was on her summer break at Oklahoma Christian College. The reason I quit going to church after really just a few short years, is because I realized that people could not separate what they did to earn their lucre or their livings from their proclaiming themselves to be Christian and followers of the way, the Christ. And I've held to that ever since. I'm astonished by what I've seen happen in the course of my life. But I'm going to tell you something. This is not a Christian nation, in my estimation. I think history is going to record how a people that called themselves a Christian nation were literally enslaved by people who hold their thoughts and ideals rather much like a man would regard the dirt under his feet of no consequence.
And that's why some people refer to America as, I mean, I would call it the continuation of the Western esoteric impulse, the Hellenizing Greek influence, and the Church of Laodicea. We, you know, I mean, the Church of Laodicea says, I'm good, in contemporary vernacular, so to speak. And in contrast to that, Jesus says, actually, you don't realize that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked.
Yeah, another thing that might be worth doing a search for sometime is an entry at Richard Spencer's website, which you can only find at the Wayback Machine today, but it's from a 2013 leadership conference where they had this civil rights attorney who's a champion of the alt-right, so-called, attends these Renaissance conferences and the like. And it's called simply America, the God That Failed. And within the first few minutes, he admits that he's a communitarian to really just a bunch of young people, idealistic young people, who probably have no conception of what it is that this very learned attorney, how dare they challenge an attorney who is a hero of the alt-right in terms of his thinking or his thought processes or his even his pronouncements.
And he's cut from the same old cloth of those kinds of fellows that we could name ad nauseum, but I would say of a Gnostic variety. Was he a Metallica fan? The God That Failed? Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and of course, people, if they track what's called interfaith dialogue, interfaith dialoguing conferences and stuff like that, just by doing a keyword search, I think they're going to be astonished by what has transpired, really, since
we should have bumped out with Metallica. Pride you took, pride you feel, pride that you felt when you kneel. Not the word, not the love. Anyway, thanks, Lark. I appreciate it. I'm being very crass and facetious, but seriously, I mean, this is, you know, it's heady stuff. And I appreciate you sharing your story. And I apologize to Mike and Murr that we missed you guys. It's, you know, we should have gone to the phones earlier. Anyway, it was an interesting broadcast. I appreciate the personal stories. I think that helps people when we are all vulnerable and available to each other, I guess. I hope it was informative, folks, perhaps even edifying. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.